Welcome to the audio tutorial series by Rapid Learning Center. In this audio tutorial, we will discuss the chemical basis of life. In this audio tutorial, we will learn about atoms and chemical bonds, organic chemicals, acids, bases and buffers, and biochemical reactions. Let's discuss atoms and molecules and their chemical composition. Chemicals and life. Atoms are made up of electrons, neutrons, protons. The most significant elements in biological systems include carbon, hydrogen, phosphorus, nitrogen, and oxygen, as well as many, many others. The molecules that are important in biology include lipids, carbohydrates, nucleotides, amino acids, and water. These molecules combine to make cells, and cells are the fundamental unit of life. Let's look at an overview of the chemistry of life. Atoms have electrons. Electrons are involved in bond formation reactions. These reactions result in molecules and chemical bonds being formed. These chemical bonds may result in an organic molecule. The kinds of bonds that are important in biology include ionic bonding, hydrogen bonding, and covalent bonds. In biological systems, most reactions occur in a buffer, which is usually composed of weak acids or bases. Chemical reactions in cells are usually catalyzed by enzymes, lives, and atoms. All living organisms are made of organic and inorganic molecules. Molecules are made up of elements. Elements are atoms. Atoms consist of protons, neutrons, and electrons. A molecule is a stable, neutral, or charged group consisting of at least two atoms in a definite arrangement held together by chemical bonds. They may be made up of charged organic or biomolecules. Older definitions defined molecules as the smallest particle of pure chemical substance that still have their composition and chemical properties. This definition breaks down when applied to ordinary substances like rocks, salt, and metals that are made up of atoms or ions but are not composed of molecules. Atomic structure in more detail. An atom is made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons, as we just said. But the protons are equal to the atomic number. That is the number that you'll see on a periodic table. Neutrons. Neutrons are neutrally charged and are equal to the mass number minus the atomic number. If an atom has a neutral charge, then the electron number is equal to the proton number. Whole numbers are used for protons, neutrons, and electrons. For instance, phosphorus has 15 protons, 16 neutrons, and 15 electrons. Isotopes. Isotopes are atoms that have the same number of protons in its nucleus as other varieties of the element, but has a different number of neutrons. An example would be oxygen, who has an atomic number of 8 and an atomic mass of 16. An isotope of oxygen would be oxygen with an atomic mass of 18. Electrons and energy. Electrons orbit the nucleus of an atom at nearly the speed of light. Electrons have both energy wave and particle or mass characteristics. Electrons can be excited and enter higher energy states different from their ground states. Remember that protons and neutrons make up the atom's nucleus, so the electrons are orbiting around this atom's nucleus. Energy shells. Electrons occupy shells around the nucleus of an atom. The innermost shell is referred to as the K shell, and it has two electrons. Each electron shell is designated by the letters K, L, M, N, O, P, and Q, or numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and these can be further subdivided into subshells. The first shell, the K shell, has one subshell designated as the 1s shell. The second main shell, that is the L shell, has two subshells designated 2S and 2P. The third shell has three subshells designated 3S, 3P, and 3D. The fourth shell has four subshells, 4S, 4P, 4D, and 4F. The subshells are further divided into orbitals. Each can have a maximum of 2 electrons. That means an S subshell, which is made up of one orbital, can have a maximum of 2 electrons. A P subshell has 3 orbitals and so can have 6 electrons. A D subshell has 5 orbitals and can have 10 electrons. An F subshell has 7 orbitals and therefore can have 14 electrons. In atoms, the valence electrons are primarily responsible for its chemical behavior. The valence electron are the electrons in the outermost shell of an atom. Atoms form bonds by gaining or losing or sharing electrons. First, we're going to discuss the ionic bond. Atoms become ions when gaining or losing an electron. Ionic bonds are weak and tend to dissociate in water, such as sodium chloride. The ionic bond is based on electrostatic forces between two oppositely charged ions. So, an ionic bond is one in which one or more electrons from one atom are removed and attached to another atom. This results in positive and negative ions, which can then attract each other. Atoms can either transfer or share their valence electrons. Chemical bonds, covalent bonds. A covalent bond forms when atoms share electrons. They are very strong, and they're the major ones in organic chemistry. Hydrogen bonds. Hydrogen bonds are weak electrical attractions between the positive end of one molecule and the negative end of another one. Hydrogen bonding may exist between an electronegative atom and a hydrogen atom bonded to another electronegative atom. This type of bond always involves a hydrogen atom. That's where it gets its name, hydrogen bonding. Intermolecular hydrogen bonding is responsible for the high boiling point of water being 100 degrees centigrade. It is also very important in the secondary, tertiary, quaternary structures of proteins and nucleic acids. Water. Water is the cradle of life. It's a polar molecule forming intermolecular hydrogen bonds. Its polarity allows it to be a versatile solvent. It's the most abundant compound in living organisms and makes up 2/3 of the weight of adults. Most metabolic reactions occur in water. Water is important in transporting materials in the body since it is a major component of blood. This next segment of the audio tutorial will discuss organic molecules, including their bonds and macromolecules formed. Organic compounds are a class of molecules that have carbon. There are a few carbon compounds such as carbonates, carbon oxides, and cyanides that are considered inorganic. The study of organic compounds is called organic chemistry. There are systems that classify an organic compound based on the type of functional group the compound carries. Molecular formulas are an easy expression. It is the simplest whole number term of the composition of a substance. For instance, glucose, which is made up of 6 carbons, 12 hydrogens, and 6 oxygens. Its molecular formula would read as follows: C6H12O6. Isomers are molecules having the same molecular formula but different structural formula. An example would be 1-butanol and 2-butanol. They have the same molecular formula, however, the functional group is different between the 1 and the 2-butanol. When scientists talk about structural formulas, it's a form to write out how atoms are actually arranged around a given molecule. Chemical bonds. Chemical bonds are formed when atoms share their outer shell electrons. In organic chemicals, there are several types of chemical bonds: single bonds, atoms sharing one pair of electrons in the molecule. An example of this would be a CH3 bound to a CH3. They would share a single bond. Double bonds. Atoms in a molecule share two pairs of electrons. Chemical bonds store energy. The energy in a double bond is greater than that in a single bond, but less than that in a triple bond. Classes of organic chemicals. Organic chemicals are classified by their functional groups, which determine the properties of a molecule. The major classes of organic chemicals include alcohol group, aldehydes, ketones, carboxylic acid group, amine group, phosphate group, and the thiol group. All these groups are chemically reactive. Important organic molecules. What are the four examples of biologically important organic molecules? The four most important examples include saccharides, amino acids, fatty acids, and nucleotides. Saccharides have carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Glucose is an example of a monosaccharide. Amino acids have carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen, also an amino group and a carboxyl group. Fatty acids are mostly carbon and hydrogen, with a CH2 and carboxyl group. Nucleotides have a carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and phosphorus. A nucleotide consists of a base, a ribose, which is a sugar, and a phosphate group. Macromolecules. Macromolecules are large molecules that may be biopolymers like DNA, or non-polymeric molecules like lipids, proteins, and polysaccharides. There are four major groups of macromolecules. Polysaccharides, which are made from monosaccharides, they store energy and provide building blocks for cells. Lipids. Lipids are made from fatty acids and glycerol. They too store energy and are major components for cell membranes. Proteins. Proteins are made from amino acids and they make up both structure of proteins and enzymes. The last group is the nucleic acids, which are made from nucleotides. Nucleic acids form the basis of genetic information. In this segment of the audio tutorial, we will discuss acids, bases, and buffers. An acid is a compound that, when dissolved in water, has a pH of less than 7. Common examples of acids are vinegar, sulfuric acid that you find in car batteries. They are frequently sour to the taste, lemon juice, and sting when in contact with mucous membranes. Also, an acid is commonly referred to with a capital H, capital A in formulas. An acid is a compound that will donate a hydrogen ion to a base. In water, a weak acid, HA, comes apart. It dissociates and is described by this equation. HA plus water goes to H3O with a positive charge plus A minus. Let's say that again. HA, that's the acid, when added to water, it dissociates and forms H3O plus, plus A minus. Base. A base is a substance that can accept protons. It can also be thought of as a compound that donates electron pairs and is a source for hydroxide anions. Hydroxide is denoted OH minus. While acids increase the hydronium ion concentration in water, that is H3O plus, bases decrease it. Properties of bases include bitter tasting, slippery or slimy to the touch, very caustic when in contact with organic matter. Bases in aqueous solutions can dissociate and conduct electricity. Electrolyte. An electrolyte is a material having free ions that are able to conduct an electric current. They generally are made up of ions in solution. Electrolytes are also known as ionic solutions. Electrolytes usually are solutions of acids and bases or their salts. Electrolyte solutions are formed when a salt is put in a solvent and the individual components dissociate. An example of an electrolyte would be sodium chloride, NaCl, salt. When it's added to water, the individual components dissociate into Na+, chloride minus. The dissociation of sodium chloride results in a solution that conducts an electric current. In the body, the primary ions of electrolytes are sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, chloride, phosphate, and hydrogen carbonate. Buffers. A buffer is a solution that resists change in its pH when small amounts of an acid or a base is added to it, or when it's diluted. Buffers are a mixture of weak acids and its conjugate base, or a weak base and its conjugate acid. The resistance to changing pH is because of the equilibrium between the weak acid, that is the HA, and its conjugate base, A-, described by the equation HA plus water goes to H3O plus plus A-. We've run into that before when we were discussing weak acids and their dissociation. Let's talk some about pH. The concentration of hydrogen ion is an important index of a solution, and it's usually expressed as the log of the concentration of the hydrogen ion. The most commonly used pH range is 1 to 14. An acidic solution has a pH of less than 7, and an alkali solution has a pH of greater than 7. A pH of 7 means the solution is neutral. Remember, pH represents the concentration of hydrogen ions in solution. In this next segment of the audio tutorial, we'll discuss biochemical reactions, their thermodynamics, the value of a coupled reaction, and enzymes in biochemical reactions. In the first step, we'll talk about the first law of thermodynamics. The first law of thermodynamics states that the total energy of a system and its surroundings is constant. This means that energy cannot be created or destroyed. However, energy can take on different forms. The second law of thermodynamics. The second law of thermodynamics says that the total entropy of a system plus its surroundings always increase. An example of increasing entropy would be ice. If you have frozen water, it's a very ordered structure. The oxygens and the hydrogens from adjacent atoms and molecules align very precisely. It has low entropy. It's highly ordered. When the ice melts, the water molecules become more disordered and entropy is increased. When water is boiled and turns to steam, entropy is at the maximum. There's a great deal of randomness in the motion. Entropy in equations is denoted by the symbol S. Entropy is the measure of the degree of randomness or disorder in a system. The second law of thermodynamics says that the total entropy of a system plus that of its surroundings always increases. A local increase in order will only occur if entropy in another part of the universe is decreased in an equal or greater amount. To get a better handle on the meaning of entropy, let's compare matter in different states. A solid has less entropy, that is, it's more ordered, than the liquid. A liquid has less entropy, more ordered, than a gas. Solute and solvent separated has less entropy. A solution of solute and solvent has more entropy. A small, simple molecule has less entropy than a large, complex molecule. And finally, fewer molecules have less entropy than many molecules do. Delta G versus reactions. Every system has its own free energy. From reactants to products in a biochemical reaction, the change in free energy is termed delta G. A spontaneous reaction has a negative delta G, and a non-spontaneous reaction has a positive delta G. Let's talk about coupled metabolic reactions. In metabolism, there are pathways made up of several individual reactions. Some of the individual reactions are not thermodynamically favorable. However, it's possible to couple thermodynamically unfavorable reactions with thermodynamically favorable ones and have the net result be a reaction that goes spontaneously. In order for this to succeed, the overall free energy change for the coupled reactions is equal to the sum of the free energy change of the individual steps. For instance, if you have a reaction where A goes to B plus C and B then goes to D, let's see how we could couple these. A would go to B plus C, having a delta G of a positive 20. Now B goes to D. It would have a negative delta G of minus 30. If these reactions were coupled, the negative 30 plus the positive 20 would give you a negative 10. This negative 10 means that the delta G would be negative and therefore spontaneous, and this pathway would be thermodynamically favorable. Let's take a look at this with a real-world example of glycolysis. Glycolysis is one of the most important metabolic cycles. Many of the chemical reactions in glycolysis are not thermodynamically favored. Yet the pathway is overall thermodynamically favored by coupling the unfavorable reactions with favorable ones, such as the hydrolysis of ATP. In this example, glucose goes to glucose-6-phosphate, which is the first step in glycolysis, by the hydrolysis of ATP. The hydrolysis of ATP yields a negative delta G, negative 31 kilojoules per mole. The phosphorylation reaction, that is glucose going to glucose-6-phosphate, has a positive delta G of plus 14 kilojoules per mole. Combining these two reactions gives a net negative delta G of negative 17 kilojoules per mole. This is an example of a coupled reaction. Let's take a look at the effect enzymes have. In biochemical reactions, enzymes are absolutely critical. For reactants to react, they need energy to be activated. Enzymes lower this energy barrier by coupling the reactants and introducing order to the system. By bringing the reactants together in an orientation and proximity with which they can react, enzymes effectively lower the entropy of that system. Enzymes are catalysts, that is, they're not used up in the reaction. They bind the reactants, they stabilize the transition state. The transition state is that place where reactants and products are not quite themselves yet. That is to say, you have a reactant reacting, it's not quite yet a product, it's transitioning to the product. Enzymes act by stabilizing this transition state and allows the molecules to go on to form the products. Once the products are formed, in most instances, the enzyme releases the reactants, which are now products. Enzymes do not alter the equilibrium of a chemical reaction. They only affect the rate of a product formation, not the amount. In a nutshell, enzymes are able to do their work by lowering the activation energy necessary for a reaction. Biochemical reactions. There are six major classes of biochemical reactions. These include oxidation-reduction reactions, intramolecular or intermolecular functional group transfer reactions, hydrolysis of esters, ethers, and amides, elimination or addition reactions, isomerization reactions, and formation of ester, thiol ester, and amide linkages. There are 6 classes or types of enzyme-catalyzed reactions. The first class is oxidoreductases, oxidation-reduction reactions. The second class of enzyme reactions, transferases, transfers specific groups. Class 3, hydrolases, catalyzes hydrolysis reactions. Class 4, lyases, catalyze chemical bond breaking of various types other than hydrolysis and oxidation. Class 5, isomerases. Isomerases catalyze the interconversion of polymers. And finally, class 6, ligases. They catalyze the joining of 2 molecules by forming a new chemical bond. In summary, atoms are made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Atoms combine to create cells, and cells make up organisms. Atoms form bonds, making molecules that lead to biochemical macromolecules like proteins, DNA, saccharides, and lipids. Acids, bases, electrolytes, and buffer chemistry are critical to maintaining life. Their chemistries form the foundation for all biochemical reactions. Biochemical reactions are catalyzed by enzymes, which are usually proteins that function by lowering the activation energy of a reaction. Questions review. Atoms are made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Enzymes increase the rate of a reaction by lowering the activation energy of a reaction. Blank are equal to the mass number minus the atomic number. Neutrons. Neutrons are equal to the mass number minus the atomic number. Total energy of a system and its surroundings is constant. That's the first law of thermodynamics. Resist change to pH. That's a buffer. Congratulations on completing this audio tutorial, The Chemical Basis of Life. For more audio and visual tutorials, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.